KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly cloudy sky, and it's 28 degrees. We look for it to be partly cloudy today with a high near 60. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In the news this hour, a monthly survey report suggests that the economy expanded in 9 Midwestern and Plains states last month amid mounting concerns about tariffs and trade skirmishes. The report issued today says the Mid-America Business Conditions Index slumped to 54.9 in October from 57.5 in September. The October reading is the lowest since January of 2017. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss oversees the survey, and he says he expects a slowdown in the regional economic expansion in the months ahead. The survey results are compiled into a collection of indices ranging from 0 to 100. Any score above 50 suggests growth. A score below that suggests economic decline. Police in Creston say two people were arrested late Wednesday morning at a residence located in the 800 block of Laurel Street in Creston. 37-year-old Amy Jo Jackson and 47-year-old Paula Schimmer, both of Creston, were arrested for theft in the fifth degree. Both women were later released from custody and on promise to appear in court. An historic landmark in Elkhorn is getting a major facelift this week. A Danish windmill originally built in 1848 is being outfitted with a new cap, sails, and other components, so the mill will be turning in the wind again for the first time in a couple of years. Lisa Steen Riggs, general manager of the Danish windmill, says big problems were discovered in 2016 when the mill's sails stopped turning.
We found wood rot where the two sails, 66-foot sails, crossed. And we knew we had to get them to the ground before they fell to the ground.
A massive crane arrived Monday to place a 15,000-pound mill turret with a cap frame, wind shaft, brake wheel, and fantail on top of the windmill. The sails were replaced yesterday, and they were installed as the new windmill arrived in Elkhorn 42 years ago. You can follow the progress of their installation in videos posted on the Danish Windmill Facebook page or at millcam.metc.net. The entire project carries a price tag of roughly $200,000, and volunteers are doing most of the work, and donors are paying for the parts and specialized labor.
So it's been quite a project. We're still about $80,000 short in our fundraising. It's a labor of love for the community.
The installation of the all-new components for the Danish windmill will be completed just in time for the 9th annual dinner and auction that's taking place this Saturday to support the project.
And we hope to raise, you know, around $15,000. We've raised as much as $17,000 at our annual event. And it's just a constant asking for donations, which we don't like, but it's something to restore this nonprofit museum so it's back into working condition.
Elkhorn and the neighboring town of Kimbleton are the two largest rural Danish settlements in the U.S. Combined, around 1,000 people live in the two communities. According to Riggs, last year over 57,000 people visited the Danish windmill in Elkhorn, located 6 miles north of Interstate 80 in Shelby County. The Iowa Gold Star Military Museum will host a veterans tribute celebration Saturday, November 10th from 10:30 a.m. until noon. The celebration includes a musical performance, vendor tables, luncheon, and comments from retired U.S. Navy Commander Larry Spencer, who spent 7 years as an American prisoner of war in Vietnam. Spencer was born in Wichita, Kansas, but grew up in Earlham, graduating from the Earlham High School in 1958. He entered the U.S. Navy in February of 1963, completing Aviation Officer Candidate School at the Naval Air Station in Pensacola, Florida. During Vietnam, Spencer had two deployments to Southeast Asia, serving aboard the USS Ranger and USS Enterprise from 1964 to 66. On February 18, 1966, while flying an F-4B Phantom II on a reconnaissance escort mission over North Vietnam, Spencer was shot down and captured near Tan Ho. Spencer spent 6 days shy of 7 years in captivity as a POW for a total of 2,551 days. He was one of the first 20 American POWs to return from North Vietnam, arriving back in the U.S. on February 14, 1973. He retired from the U.S. Navy in 1985 after 22 years of service. During the celebration on November the 10th, the museum will host a display drive for veterans with a collection point sponsored by Operation Barnabas of Des Moines. All donations will go to benefit veterans in central Iowa, and some examples of what to bring include coffee, canned goods, chewing gum, bath soap, and cleaning supplies. For a complete list, you can go to iowamilitarysupport.org on the web. The lecture by Commander Spencer will take place in the Colonel Al Rolfs Education Center at the Iowa Gold Star Military Museum on Camp Dodge in Johnston. Admission to that museum, by the way, is free. Well, events are planned for tomorrow in four cities across Iowa to welcome back National Guard soldiers from their overseas deployment. Guard spokesman, Lieutenant Colonel Michael Wun.
About 350 members of the 248th Aviation Support Battalion from the Iowa National Guard are being recognized during a homecoming ceremony this coming Friday, November 2nd.
He says they've been gone for about a year.
The 248th is comprised of aircraft maintainers, test pilots, and logistical support personnel. They were part of a larger unit that was in the Central Command Theater of Operations.
CENTCOM is comprised of 20 nations in the Middle East, North Africa, and Central Asia, including Afghanistan, Iraq, and other countries. One says the Iowa National Guard has been called on many times in the last decade or more.
Since 9/11, we've had almost 19,000 Iowa National Guard soldiers and airmen that have deployed in support of overseas contingency operations in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other places. And so the Iowa National Guard has been very busy in the last 17 years supporting those types of operations. And, of course, we've been supporting things here at home as well.
The return cuts the number of Iowa Guard soldiers who are deployed by more than half.
This is actually probably our largest single unit deployment since 2010 and 2011. So right now, with these soldiers returning, we have probably about 200 soldiers from the Iowa Army National Guard that are still deployed.
Lieutenant Colonel Munn says, says the ceremonies are open to the public.
The homecoming ceremonies are some of the funnest things that we get to do in the Iowa National Guard when we get to reunite our soldiers with their families. It's really a special day. The opportunity to say thank you and to honor their service.
The soldiers of the Headquarters Support Company, Detachment 4, Company B, will be honored Friday at 1 o'clock in the Davenport Army Aviation Support Facility. Soldiers of Company A and Detachment 3, Company B, will be honored at a 1 p.m. ceremony Friday at the Waterloo Army Aviation Support Facility. Soldiers of Detachment 1, Company A, will be honored at 5 p.m. ceremony in the Iowa National Guard Readiness Center in Muscatine on Friday. And soldiers from Detachment 1, Headquarters Support Company, and Company B will be honored at 5 p.m. ceremony in the Boone High School gym, also on Friday. Elsewhere in the news, officials of the Council Bluffs Police Department said Wednesday that their 17th annual Operation Medicine Cabinet Take Back Prescription Drug Program, which was held last Saturday, resulted in nearly 306 pounds of miscellaneous pharmaceuticals being turned in, with 138 people participating in the DEA-sponsored event. To date, the department's Operation Medicine Cabinet events have resulted in 6,050 pounds of miscellaneous pharmaceuticals being collected and over 3,295 individuals participating. Officials say the department's success with the events would not be possible without the collaboration of several community organizations, including Promise Partners and Prevention Means Progress, volunteers, the Council Bluffs Recycling Center, Walgreens, and Pizza Counter. Well, the Atlantic Rotary Club will hold its 36th annual auction on November 17th at the Cass County Community Center. Proceeds from the auction have been used to fund local projects, scholarships, and a number of other community needs. Over the history of the auction, club officials said the funds raised were put back into the community in many different ways. Investments in the past have included restoration of Santa's Cabin at the Atlantic City Park and the construction of the Cass County Community Center, Iowa Western, and Atlantic School District scholarships, to name a few. Requests for funds are reviewed and awarded by the Rotary Board. Now, this year's auction will follow the traditional format, according to Rotary President Ted Robinson. A formal dinner with wine will kick off the evening, and bidding opened on several silent auction items. That'll be followed by an open bidding auction of several items put together by the committee headed by Dolly Bergman. Robinson says those items include hosted dinners, trips, hunting adventures, mountain condominium use, just to name a few. And he said Dolly and her crew do a great job of putting together some unique and fun items to bid on, and it's always a fun evening. Now, the Rotary members will also be selling raffle tickets for prizes of $500, $1,000, and $1,500, with drawings for those prizes held throughout the evening. This year's net raffle proceeds will fund the Cass County Fairgrounds food stand, kitchen air conditioning project. Rotarians in the Cass County Extension have raffle tickets for sale for $20 per chance or six for $100. The auction is open to the public. Tickets are $30 per person and may be purchased from any Cass County or Atlantic Rotarian, and those tables can be reserved by contacting Ted Robinson at First Whitney Bank and Trust. And that is a check of our news here on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen.